Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3. The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 21. Tvamasya lokasya vibho Tvam asya lokasya vibho Rirakshishu grihe Avatirna asi mama Akila Ishvaraha Rajanya Samgya Asura Koti Yuta Pai Nirvyuyamana Nihannishase Shamu Tamasya lokasya vibho rirakshishur
Tamasya lokasya vibho rirakshishur
Griheva tirno si mamakileshvara
Griheva tirno si mamakileshvara
Rajanya samgyasura kotiyutapar Nirvyuyamana nihayiniche se chamu. Tvam, your lordship. Asya, of this. Lokasya, especially of this. Martyloka, the planet Earth. Vibho, O Supreme, Nri Rakshishu, desiring protection from the disturbance of the Asuras. Grihe, in this house, Avatirna, Asi, have now appeared. Mama, my. Akila Ishvaraha, although you are the proprietor of the entire creation, Rajanya Samgya, Asura Koti Utapai, with millions of demons and their followers in the roles of politicians and kings, with millions of demons and their followers in the roles of politicians and kings. Nivyuyamana, which are moving here and there, all over the world. Nihanishase will kill. Shamu, the armies, paraphernalia, soldiers, and retinues. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world, and I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians who address as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna appears in this world for two purposes, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya tajuskritam, to protect the innocent, religious devotees of the Lord, and to annihilate all the uneducated, uncultured asuras unnecessarily bark like dogs and fight amongst themselves for political power. It is said, Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara. The Hare Krishna movement is also an incarnation of Krishna in the form of the holy name, Nama Rupe. And every one of us who is actually afraid of the Asuric rulers and politicians must welcome this incarnation of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we will surely be protected from the harassment of Asuric rulers. At the present moment, these rulers are so powerful that by hook or crook, they capture the highest posts in government and harass countless numbers of people on the plea of national security or some emergency. Then again, one Asura defeats another Asura, but the public continues to suffer. Therefore, the entire world is in a precarious condition. And the only hope is this Hare Krishna movement. Lord Narasimha Dev appeared when Prahlada was excessively harassed by his Asuric father. Because of such Asuric fathers, that is, the ruling politicians, it is very difficult to press forward the Hare Krishna movement. But because Krishna has now appeared in his holy name through this movement, we can hope that these Asuric fathers will be annihilated and the kingdom of God established all over the world. The entire world is now full of many Asuras in the guise of politicians, gurus, sadhus, yogis, and incarnations. And they are misleading the general public away from Krishna consciousness, which can offer true benefit in human society. Tamasya lokasya vibho ri rakshishu shur krihevatirno si maha kileshvara rajanyasam gyasura koti utapar niravyu yamana nihanishase chamu. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all the world under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swamita Namane. Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharna. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has mentioned several places how there are two classes of persons. Dvo imo purusho loke, shara chakshara evacha, shara sarvani bhutani kutasta shara uchite. That in this world there are two kinds of created persons. One are fallible and the other are infallible. That in this world everyone is fallible and in the spiritual world everyone is called infallible. And in another place Krishna says, Dvo bhuta sarga loge smin. Daiva asra evacha, daiva vishtruksa prokta, asram partame shinu. Then in this world there are two kinds of created persons, dvo bhuta sargo loke smin. One is called the sura, and the other is called the asura, the demon and the demigod. Krishna has explained about the qualifications of the demons to begin with. Well, actually, he began with the devotees, beginning with Abhyam Sakta Samushudira Jnana Yoga Vyavastiti, that the devotees have godly qualities, such as fearlessness and cultivation of spiritual knowledge, purity. For the sannyasis, they're supposed to cultivate that. And for the grihasthas, is Dhanam Dhamma Chajagnascha. They're supposed to perform sacrifice, give in charity, and control their mind and senses. And for the vanaprasa, there's tapa, or austerity. And for the brahmachari, there's swadhyaya, or a self-study, or a scriptural study, trying to understand the self. Then he explains other qualities. Abhayam satvasam shudhira jnana yoga vyavyastiti dhanam dhamastra jagnascha swadhyaya taparjavam ahimsa satvam akrodas tyaga shantir paishanam dayabhuteshvalolutvam mordavan riyachapalam. Gentleness, simplicity, cleanliness, all these qualities are supposed to be developed by godly persons. But the demons, they're not interested in developing these godly qualities. Their qualities are dhamba, dharpa, bhimanascha, krodha, paurusham, evacha, agena, abhijatasya, partha, sampadam, asarin. By trying to lord it over the material nature, by trying to enjoy sense gratification to the maximum, they develop these qualities, namely dhamba, pride, dharpam, arrogance, bhima, false ego, prestige, bhimanascha, krodha, anger, porusham, harshness, evacha, agaya, aganam, ignorance, abhijatasya, partha sampadam, asarin. So we can understand who has what qualities or who's in what position by their manifestation of certain qualities. There are certain symptoms. For the devotees, there are symptoms. For the demons, there are symptoms. And the major symptom of the demon is that he doesn't follow any religious principles. There are four major, in this world at least, there are four principles everyone is supposed to follow, beginning with dharma. Dharma, religiosity, is especially meant to be upheld by the kshatriyas. That's their principal duty, is to uphold dharma. That the Brahmins, they teach what is dharma for liberation. But in order to actually uphold dharma, to see that dharma is manifested within society, it's the job of the administrators. They have those qualities, such as Suryam Tejas Sriti Daksha, Yude Chapyapalayanam, Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha, Kshatram Karma Sabhavajam. They have to have the qualities Surya, heroism, Tejas, power. Not that when there's a battle or there's a conflict, then the administrator hides underneath the hole 3 miles down and tries to manipulate everything by computer. Battle's going on, he's smoking a cigarette and drinking coffee and commanding everyone through computer what to do. He was trained up by, since his childhood, playing computer games. That's why he became a kshatriya. No, Suryam, Teja, Triti, Daksha, and they had to have some expertise at something. Not that they don't know how to tie their shoelaces, but they're in charge of the whole world. Balavantapuru, one of the devotees who's running for mayor of Atlanta many years ago, 30 years ago. And the incumbent, he was giving it was a debate. And during the debate, the incumbent kept on smoking cigarettes. And Balavanta mentioned when it was his turn to speak that here's a person, he's promising to protect the public, but we can see he can't even protect himself. He's smoking cigarettes. Everyone knows that cigarette smoking is dangerous for your health, but he can't avoid it. And yet he's running for office to protect others. Of course, people are so foolish, they elected him anyhow. Georgia, that around that area, they produce a lot of tobacco, so. Daksha yude chapapalayanam dhanam ishvara. And they're supposed to collect taxes to perform sacrifice, not simply to maintain some opulent, prestigious position in society, enjoy sense gratification, and divide up the money amongst his ministers and his family. Dhanam ishvara bhavascha. And they have to have some ability to control. That should be their mood. Not that before they can do anything, they have to ask their wife. And yet they're supposed to protect everyone. These are the qualities by which the kshatriyas are supposed to work. If one doesn't have these qualities, and he's claiming to be an administrator, a kshatriya, then actually he's a cheater. He can't protect himself, what to speak of anyone else. They're supposed to maintain dharma, so if a kshatriya doesn't even know what dharma is, if he's actually in ignorance, as Krishna says, adharman dharma itiya mandite tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitamscha buddhisaparta tamasi. So one's intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. One thinks what is dharma is adharma. What is religion they think is irreligion. And what is irreligion they take as religion. And therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. Just like the American government, they demand that everyone advertise the cigarette companies that cigarettes smoking can cause lung cancer and kill you. They spend millions of dollars doing that. But then they spend hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, offering subsidies to the tobacco companies so they can go on growing tobacco and make huge profits. Because every year there's some huge legal case against the tobacco company. All the people have emphysema and lung cancer. They sue the tobacco companies. They win billions of dollars. So the government pays for it to make sure that people can go on smoking and kill themselves. So is this the job of the government? Why is the government doing this? Because they themselves are simply servants. They were bought by the tobacco company. They get elected by the major corporations, and they're servants of the major corporations. They're not servants of the public. They're servants of the sense gratification of the people who run the major corporations that are killing the public. So this certainly is not dharma. This is called ignorance. As I mentioned before, one year in New Orleans, the devotees did a Harinam during Mardi Gras. Everyone here knows what Mardi Gras is. It's when they go out in New Orleans for 1 week and they have a marathon. Who can commit the most sinful activities in 1 week? In the street, they kill animals, they have barbecues, they play rock music. Everyone's intoxicated for 7 straight days. Naked dance shows, everything's going on. You can't even hear yourself think. It's so loud. So the devotees decided, out of their mercy, to go out and do Harinam, purify the atmosphere a tiny bit. And as soon as they went out, the police came and arrested them all. Brought them to jail, kept them in jail over the weekend so they didn't. And then they brought them before the judge on Monday and charged them with disturbing the peace. So they thought the devotees are causing a disturbance, disturbing everyone's mind, injecting God consciousness in a festival, making everyone depressed, so they could only protect the public from this irreligious activity of chanting God's name. In Belgium, the government did an investigation on the cults, and they came out with 180 of the most dangerous cults, of which we were a member of them. And the reason why we were a cult, according to the Belgian government, is that we have the nerve to go on the street and chant God's name. Besides that, we do things that are really insidious, like we're vegetarians. So this is modern society. If you do something completely useless, then people think that you're a great personality. If you can hit a little ball with a stick into a hole, then everyone considers you the most saintly person. And if you follow religious principles, they think you're a disturbance, unproductive. And the leaders of society, they pass so many laws that no one could figure out what the laws are, and they enforce them subjectively just to, generally, to satisfy the business people, make sure that whatever gains they get keep on coming. Therefore, in this age, people have no idea that there is such a thing as spirit, or that the goal of life is to understand spirit or to reach the Supreme Spirit. The only thing that people know is that the goal of life is to make money and enjoy sense gratification. And even if you can't make money, somehow or another try to enjoy sense gratification. Get a credit card, charge, get as many credit cards as you can, charge them all to the maximum, buy all the things you can, declare yourself bankrupt, and and keep on enjoying until the last moment. There's no question of religious principles, that by sinful activities we're going to have to suffer, or that there's such a thing as a purpose in life, such as liberation from material concepts of life. There's no conception like that. And the leaders and the so-called educated class of people, you go to a university, who is talking about such a thing as sinful activity? It's where you learn how to break all the sinful activities. There may be some classes they have on biology, but how much you've learned biology is how much you can have illicit sex while you're at school. That's the real biology class. And the chemistry class is learning how to mix all kinds of drugs to see how you can develop the craziest type of consciousness that's possible. You may not do very well in your chemistry class, but your extracurricular chemical activities are usually you're quite expert at. And meat eating, there's intoxication, gambling. One's whole life is simply a gamble. So this is being educated, cultivated, that you are the body. The goal of life is just to make money somehow or another, enjoy sense gratification. And then they have, even if they have religious classes, it's just to show how inconsistent, how sentimental, how bewildering is religion. How religion is the real cause of all the problems, that the church tortured so many people in the early days, they frustrated so many people, they didn't like anyone, etc. So we're liberating you from all religious concepts so you can become 100% qualified to become an animal. Because after all, we're just animals, but somehow or another religion introduced us to another concept, deviated us from our real happiness in life, restricted us from unrestricted sense gratification, and therefore we have to go back to our roots, to our original state of consciousness, become a spontaneous animal again. No more thought of restraining the senses, but simply, if it feels good, you do it. And if there was some other training that you got previously by your uneducated, uninformed relatives like your parents or your friends, then we'll train you up in school so that by the time you get your PhD, you'll have no thought to do anything you like. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending will all become completely spontaneous to you. You'll get on the Raganuga platform of sense gratification. You'll become a Hargacharya. You'll eat unrestrictedly, you'll sleep unrestrictedly, you'll have sex life unrestrictedly, and you'll somehow or another defend yourself. All without any conscience, without any thought of any higher purpose other than to get more and more absorbed in sense gratification. So this is modern society, supported by modern education. All the laws, for the most part, are all to support this educational system. And if someone comes along with some other conception, it's not so well encouraged. If we had a society to feed the porpoises, then maybe we can get a grant from the government. That, of course, here in this country, maybe they give some grants. But it is not that they're encouraging us, please come save the general population, educate them. No, they more or less tolerate us until they get some complaints, and then it's not so tolerable. Because people don't understand. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. They think that we're introducing our sentimental process, so they tolerate us. Because they think that there are some troubles with the present society. People have not learned how to exist, exploiting each other happily. Therefore, those people get exploited. We have to make them happy. So we like people to come along and distribute their sentimental religion so that people, they can't eat, they can't sleep, they have no peace of mind, but they can, like madmen, chant and dance on the street. That will make them happy. Better than they get too frustrated and create some revolution. So we tolerate these hairless Krishnas going and they dance and chant and get other madmen, people like them, to dance and chant too. But as to understand the profound philosophy behind Krishna consciousness, that is actually explaining what knowledge is. That knowledge is not to learn to become an animal. That Chanaka Pandit has said, Matrivat paradareshu, paradvareshu lastravat, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yakpashiti sapandita. That the mark of a learned person is not how much money they can make, not how much they can enjoy sense gratification, not how much they can exploit others. The mark of a learned person is that they see every woman except for their wife to be just like their mother. And they see everyone's property except for their own to be like garbage in the street. And they see all living entities to be on the same level, all spiritual souls in different bodies. Not only the human beings, but even the lower species of life. Such a person is actually educated. Everyone else is a fool. You may have a big PhD, but according to the Bhagavatam, if you don't have that vision, you're nothing but on the same level as a cow or an ass. Of course, we don't want to criticize the cows and asses. But because cows and asses, generally they follow some principles by the force of nature. The persons who are on that level, they follow no principles. Therefore, the cows and asses, by the evolutionary process, are going up, and by the sinful activities of the present population, they're going down. So we can't actually compare the cows and asses. It would be unjustly putting the cows and an ass in a degraded position. But the point is that most people are innocent, they're simply being misdirected by their so-called leaders who have no understanding what the goal of life is. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions that by the chanting of Hare Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya mentioned to Haridasa Thakur, by the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, people's consciousness can become purified. And if people's consciousness becomes purified by the chanting of Hare Krishna, by the distribution of transcendental literature, by the distribution of prasad, food offered to Krishna, by the saintly qualities, the saintly activities of the devotees, then people in general can gradually be educated and they'll choose leaders which will be qualified. They'll understand what the qualifications of a true leader are, they'll understand what the goal of life is and how to achieve it, And they'll understand the necessity of proper leadership, trained leadership, to help people reach the goal of life. Therefore, Prabhupada says, the only real hope is this Hare Krishna movement. There may be other religious movements trying to educate people into some kind of quality, material mode of goodness, perhaps. But because of the strong force of Kali Yuga, they're quite ineffective. Instead, they're becoming influenced by Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga has been defined, tatat tanudinam dharma, sattvam shema daya, no, sattva shocham daya shema, kalena balilara jan nakshantya yor balam smriti. By the strong force of Kali Yuga, day after day, the principles of religion will be forgotten. And all good qualities such as cleanliness and truthfulness, mercy, tolerance, memory, bodily strength, gradually by the strength of Kali Yuga, everything will diminish, including one's longevity. So everything's diminishing day after day, and they're loudly exclaiming how they're making progress, but they're actually becoming degraded. Therefore, the devotees have to understand themselves, or what is the goal of life and how to achieve it, and introduce that understanding to people in general, somehow or another, so that people can understand where to go and how to get there. Of course, if we're not very confident, very secure in our philosophy and our practice, then we'll be reluctant to introduce it to anyone else. We'll think, why should we disturb these people? They have so many important things to do. We don't want to interfere with their progressive march. We have to become convinced what is actually going on in this world. And we have to understand what people's real interest in life is, and therefore try to apply it within our own lives and try to help other people understand it too, somehow or another. Not that we've learned the highest goal of life is to become a vegetarian and eat prasad. And as long as we're doing that, the prasad's good, the kirtan's good, then everything's all right. So that may be true for some time, but when they start eating people in the street, they'll especially look for the devotees because they'll be nice, fat, and healthy. They'll be the first ones they want for the feast. They'll come for the Sunday feast, but we might be on the menu. The Hare Krishna love feast. We love the Hare Krishnas. There's a Twilight story about that. Twilight Zone, I don't know if it ever played here. Twilight Zone. These aliens were coming, and all these people were going to their planet because they were handing out this book, How to Serve Human Beings. So everyone was thinking that, wow, let's go to the planet. Everyone wants to serve us there. Here, no one wants to serve us. There, everyone wants to serve us. So all the human beings on this planet are all being transported by the aliens to their planet where they would be served. And then finally, at the end of the Twilight Zone story, one man, he translates the book, How to Serve Human Beings, and discovers it's a cookbook. So that time is coming. So we have to try to change at least for the next 10,000 years, try to introduce Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which will supposed to become prominent for the next 10,000 years, so that people get some real goal of life. What is that verse? Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakar, Yahun Krishna Tahun Maya Haya Andhakar. Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is a sun, there is no darkness. And wherever there's Krishna, there's no dark, there's no Maya. Krishna Swadama Upagote Jnana Dharma. Krishna Swadama Upagote Dharma Jnana Dibisaha Kalona Ashta Drisha Eva Puranarko Dunoditaha. Now that Krishna has left the planet, it is said, Krishna Swadama Upagate. Now that he's returned to his own abode, the place we can find real knowledge is Dharma Jnana, and real religiosity is by Kalo Nashta Drisha Eva Puranarko Dunodita. This Bhagavad Purana, with its message, is rising, just like the sun, to illuminate the darkness of the age of Kali. Anartho Pasamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Tahokshajam Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakre Sapita Samhita. That when Srila Vyasadeva saw the problems of Kali Yuga, for that reason he wrote the Bhagavatam, so that people can get their proper direction in life. So we have to become convinced in that our success is not by creating a political party or criticizing the current administration or this government, that government, because practically speaking, Kali Yuga, everyone's a cheater. The people who elect the government are cheaters. We have the tendency to cheat also. Our minds are cheating us. Our senses are cheating us. Our intelligence is cheating us. What to speak of everyone else? So we have to distribute the Bhagavatam. We have to read the Bhagavatam. We have to apply the Bhagavatam. And gradually the atmosphere will become purified. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
It says one chants attentively and we can become aware of these anathas. Is it enough just to be aware of them and keep chanting, or we have to adjust with these anathas?
Well, you have some special affinity for anarthas. Wow, look at that anartha. Wow, what a far out anartha. There it goes. Just become aware of the anartha. To become aware of anarthas is all right. But when we're chanting, the idea of chanting is not to become aware of the anarthas. We're chanting to become aware of Krishna. It's not the International Society for Anartha Consciousness. I've become purely illuminated in anartha. I've entered into the kingdom of anartha. No, we're trying to become Krishna conscious. And if we become Krishna conscious, then all our anarthas will disappear. We won't have to become aware of them. They'll just go away. So that's our principal aim. We may become aware of the anarthas just so that we can understand them properly, so we can avoid them. We don't want to get too much involved in them, though. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat Tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve sa shanti matnoti na kama kami. Person who's not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So we become too aware of our anarthas, then we'll just become more absorbed in them. We're already aware of them. Our whole life is in anartha, practically speaking. We're not engaged in Krishna service. But when we're absorbed in Krishna service, we're engaged in it, that's what we should try to improve, that's all. And if there's some anartha that's impeding us, then we should try and figure out how to get rid of it. Yes?
Yeah, Maharshi, earlier last year, defined a demon as one who's not aware of religious principles.
Or doesn't follow them either.
It doesn't follow religious principles, which we then define as Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. Yet we see that there were many of the demons who actually did follow these
religious principles. No, I didn't define that as religious principles. Religious principles means Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te, Karya Karya Vyastito, Gyatva Shastram Vidanokta, Karma Kartam Viharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of Scripture. And knowing such regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. Demons don't act to become purified.
We even see like great demons follow, you know, like consequences follow the scriptures.
Yeah, but he didn't act to get purified though. He acted to become more demoniac.
But I mean, according to his perception of his acting, become purified. But isn't the main definition of demons there?
What's that? No, the main, if you don't follow Krishna's instructions, then you're against Krishna. That's according to the Bhagavatam. Yakshastra vidum isrija vartate kamakarata isasi dimavatnoti nasukam napuram gatim. One who gives up the scripture and who doesn't follow acts whimsically will obtain neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Krishna defines the demons, one who doesn't follow scripture. In order to become elevated, someone may follow scripture to kill God. But Krishna says, Mogaisha moka karmano moka jnana vichaita saha rakshasi masarim chayava prakriti moanim shitaha. Those who don't follow Krishna, then those who deride Krishna, then their hopes of liberation, their cultivation of knowledge, and their mogaisha moka karmano, their fruit of activities are all defeated. So we may claim we love God, but if we don't follow His principles, then we're not really God conscious. They may think we're more or less followers of God, but if we don't follow His instructions, then how are we following Him?
But then the scriptures, they don't just, I mean, if you look at the broader body of the Vedic literature, they don't just talk about, you know, service to Krishna. There's many different levels.
It's all service to Krishna. It's all Krishna spoke the Vedas. It's His instructions.
Then you look at the Puranas, and there's like three basic groups of, you know, Mahana Puranas, and there's
Yeah, so introduce, make people civilized so they can become God conscious.
They're not talking about serving Krishna directly, they're not going to become purified. And people follow those scriptures also.
Yeah, well, the scriptures are meant to bring people to the human form of life, so eventually they can become God conscious. But until they come to the human form of life, then they can't really be considered to be on the they're on the path. But until they actually follow consciously, then they're not in Daivi van ashram, they're in Asura van ashram. But if the Shudras follow the principles, which are directly and indirectly, all the Vedas begin with, the mantras begin with Om, which address Krishna. So the Brahmins, they know that, and they guide the people, and they more or less, in a real Vedic culture, people know that the goal of life is to become God conscious. And those who aren't trying to become God conscious, they're not considered to be. I mean, even the Brahmins who were performing the sacrifice, where Krishna and Balaram came, or their friends came to ask for some remnants, they were performing a sacrifice for satisfying Vishnu. But the irony was that when Vishnu came personally, they didn't follow him. So then they lamented that we're supposed to be worshipping Vishnu. Vishnu himself personally came, and we rejected him. Like Shukracharya told his demon friend, or his demon disciple, Bali, he was preaching to him, you have to serve Vishnu. That's the only way you can make any progress. And when Bali kept on wanting to serve Vishnu, then Shukracharya rejected him. But that was taught even to the demons. They knew if you wanted to have a successful sacrifice, the whole idea is you had to satisfy Vishnu. But when it came down to it, then they didn't always worship Vishnu because they were self-interested. Yes?
We hear that all these very rich people in the current society, they give for the tsunami relief and all that, they give huge amounts of money. Will they get any benefit by doing that?
Well, I don't know. Depends who they're giving the money to. If they give the money and it's to the Hare Krishna food for life and they distribute prasadam, they'll certainly get benefit. Mm-hmm. If they give money to some other organization and distribute fish and meat and eggs, they'll go to hell. People they're giving the food to will go to hell and they'll go with them for providing it. Maybe Yamaraj will give them some reward before he, for doing such a noble act. They'll get a brand new, you know, squirrel body. Yeah, that's karma. It's you may have the sentiment that you're doing something very nice, but you may give, for instance, a few dollars to a drunk on the street to buy some alcohol with the sentiment that I'm doing some nice service to humanity. But that's not how the laws of nature work. He's going to have to suffer for drinking the alcohol. And because you helped him, you'll have to suffer too. Anything else? Grantarashi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.